Welcome to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, July 21st, 2019, by Eric Williams.
Every time I read this gospel, I feel a little bad for Martha. I kind of get her perspective. She, you know, has been doing all the work, and all she wants is a little equity. She wants her sister to help out once in a while. And then Jesus criticizes her and says that the problem is hers. Well, what is he really saying here? I think he's telling her that not that doing all the work is wrong, not that caring for guests is wrong or putting on a good meal, all that is fine, but she's lost a little perspective. We read in the Gospels, if you look at the different versions, Luke and John, we're not sure how many times Jesus spent evenings at Martha and Mary's home with Lazarus, but I'm guessing that in the grand scheme of things, those were pretty rare and precious events. And this might have been one of the last chances for Martha to spend quality time with Jesus, to sit at his feet, to listen to him, and to be with him. And she was prevented from enjoying that precious time because she was so worried about how her house looked. I think many of us can relate to that. Sometimes we don't enjoy a party because we're so worried about how everything looks and that everything is getting done in its proper way. She had a blind spot. This blind spot prevented her from seeing what was right in front of her, Jesus, her Lord, her friend. Blind spots got me thinking about all of our lessons today because I think there's something that we relate to. You know, when I came to Michigan, I've had to adjust my driving strategies in Michigan, I got to tell you. Because when I was growing up, it was very firmly put into my head that you only pass on the left. If you're going too fast and someone's in front of you, you flick your lights or you go around to the left. So I have a little problem. My neck doesn't turn very well all the way around. So although I use my rearview mirror very faithfully and my side mirror, I have a blind spot, not on the left of my car, but on the right. And so I've had to learn that every time I think I've got clear space to merge over to the right, someone will be zooming up on my right at about 150 miles an hour. I looked 2 seconds ago, it was clear, but then when I try to merge, here comes the horn, and I've had a couple close calls. It's taught me to respect my blind spot. There are all kinds of blind spots in our lives, all kinds of things that we take for granted, we know to be true, or we don't even really think about, messages that we absorbed from our earliest childhood, or things that are just in the air. You know, I grew up in L.A., where I learned to drive, passing on the left, just want to say. I think even L.A. has now gone to the dark side as far as driving. But in L.A., the big problem in the 70s, before a lot of the emissions controls, was smog. You know, we used to run cross-country in high school, and our headmaster would come out before each meet, and he'd say, "Well, boys," he said, "I know there's a third-stage smog alert today, and you're supposed to stay indoors and try not to breathe. But I want to run this race, so go run." So we'd do the race, and at the end, we'd be coughing and hacking as if we had smoked 2 packs of cigarettes. That smog was just in the air. We breathed it in, and it was part of us without really our understanding or causing it. And that's something that I think we have to deal with as far as our emotional and spiritual lives as well. we all carry some blind spots, some preconceived ideas that when we take them out and examine them, they don't always make tremendous sense. For instance, is it really true that women are more emotional than men? They show it differently. Are men more logical than women? In my experience, that doesn't really hold up. It's a stereotype that we kind of had. I don't know where I picked that idea up, but it was just part of the world view that I held. We deal with all kinds of isms in the world today. There's racism and sexism and all the other types of stereotyping of people and categorizing of people. And maybe it worked for a while to help us organize society, but when we reflect on it later, it's a blind spot that actually prevents us from personal spiritual growth and from growing in our societal values as well. Think of Amos in our Old Testament lesson. He was pointing out some very clear blind spots in the leadership of the kingdom of Israel. In that time, he said, as a prophet, you have totally forgotten and abandoned your dedication to God. You have traded in devotion to God, all the ethics and rules of Deuteronomy and Exodus, all those laws that told you to protect the orphan and the widow, to care for the poor and the stranger. You've thrown all that out because you're obsessed, he said to the leaders of Israel. You're obsessed with power and wealth. When people come to the marketplace to have their grain weighed, you are literally putting your thumb on the scale and swindling people, and you will suffer the consequences. Amos was pointing out, from his perspective as an outsider, the dreadful blind spot of the people and leadership of his time. Or look at the psalmist, who makes a very similar indictment of the rulers of his time. You are selling the poor, oppressing them for your own gain, and it will not stand in God's eyes. I think we struggle in our lives with a lot of different blind spots. I think we struggle to see, and it's very important. What I hear in our scriptures today, as I think about this, is that blind spots are precisely those things that we cannot fix on our own because we're blind to them, because they're part of our worldview and ideas. We need outside help to point it out and correct it. Amos, as a prophet, was that person for Israel. Paul was that for the early Christian communities that he founded all through the ancient world. He was their outside view. He could see. You know, one of the best things I think that's happened in the automotive industry over the last 15 years or so is that now standard on almost every new car, there is a rear view camera. This has changed my life. Now, it doesn't fix the entire blind spot, but boy, does it help me to have that assistance to be able to see what I could not see before. How many times have I not backed into something, or God forbid, someone, because I had that rear view camera? Amos the prophet, Paul the apostle, and many people in our lives, I think we need to provide that assistance to help us see what we can't see. Coaches who inspire their athletes, pointing out where they could improve and where they're making mistakes. Financial advisors, spiritual advisors, all kinds of mentors in our work life. How many times as we have gone through life has there been a person who just was able to help us see things in a new way, to make corrections in our lives, and to grow in our work, in our relationships, or especially in our faith? What the people in Amos's day, the leaders of Israel, what the people in Paul's early churches, and what we need to remember is that the ultimate corrective for our blind spots is to be dedicated to renewing ourselves in our relationship with God in the person of Jesus Christ. When we can keep that focus, as Paul so beautifully writes in that epistle to the Colossians, and see that Christ is what fills all in all, that Jesus, our relationship with Him, is what transforms our lives and calls us back to lives of justice and loving self-sacrifice, of community, and of serving the needs of those who are the weakest and most vulnerable. That is the corrective. That's the rearview camera. That is the perspective which can call us out of our narrow selfishness and invite us into the abundant and transforming life of the kingdom of God. So I pray that as we hear these scriptures and as we celebrate our life in Christ, we might be enabled to have the courage, because it takes courage, to listen to those people and voices in our life, including the voices that come to us from Scripture, that challenge some of our presuppositions, that shake us out of our slumber and help us to grow in new ways towards the goal of the wonderful, loving, and transforming reign of God. That's where I want to live. I want to get out of my blind spot. I want to see the glory of the kingdom of God, and I want to be there with all of God's children.